Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great joy it is to look out and see your smiling faces as we come together this day. Indeed, as we continue to celebrate this Advent season, to celebrate week number 2. And as we come together, may the presence of Christ, this child of Bethlehem, may he touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits in all that we do and in all that we say. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. If you are a visitor today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the narthex at the back of the sanctuary. As I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad at the end of your pew and pass it to the others in your pew, finally returning it to the center aisle. If you notice someone who is normally sitting next to you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and pass them to the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. Our announcements this morning can be found in your bulletin. I'm going to highlight a few of them. The finance meeting scheduled for this Tuesday, December 8th, has been canceled. The next meeting will be Tuesday, January 12th. Also today, after the worship service, we'll be having our Gifts of the Talents sale. Our different members of the church have taken the monies that were generated up here, and they're going to be sharing their talents with you, so please stop by at the end of the service. Diane has a few announcements this morning.
First of all, next Sunday at 7 p.m. here in our sanctuary, we will be hosting the Irwin Male Chorus. It's always a big turnout from the community, and it's a chance to really show our church off, as well as the chorus. Because we're Methodist, we're having cookies, but I need your help in bringing those in. So if you were able to donate cookies for the reception, you could either bring them next Sunday morning and get them downstairs to the kitchen, or bring them Sunday night before the concert. We want to thank you, as always, for your help in providing the goodies. I always look forward to all the different kinds of cookies that come, especially this time of year. Next, directory pictures. We've taken quite a few now. If you have signed up to have it done this after this service, if you would just come forward after the service, and I'll give you a card to fill out to make sure we have everything accurate. And the pictures will be taken up here. If you have not signed up, you have two options. First of all, there is still the sign-up list on the bulletin board just as you come up the steps from the outside, from the parking lot. You can sign up for one of the later weeks, or if you don't mind standing in line for a few minutes, just come on up today and let us take your picture. We'd like to get as close to 100% as we can for that. So please either come up or sign up for another time and say cheese.
Thank you. Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of his salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins.
God chooses the most unlikely messengers. A desert wild man dressed in animal skins and eating locusts and wild honey. A poor shepherd shunned by polite society, keeping silent watch in the fields. Or today perhaps a schoolteacher, a waitress, a plumber, a laborer, or even a child. Jesus comes to not just to those of us in your church's name or city, but even to those in New York, Beverly Hills, Syria, Iraq, Africa, North Korea. Jesus comes to us in the words of a preacher and in the song of a choir, but also in the siren of an ambulance, in a letter opened, in a prison cell, in a visit to a nursing home, and in the smell or cry of a child.
Stand and join me in the call to worship, reciting your response. A voice cries out in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
A challenge is uttered from on high.
Make God's path straight.
For every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain will be made low. All will see the salvation of our God. Please remain standing and follow along with me as we recite our opening prayer together.
God of love and renewal, enter the wilderness of our lives and call us to prepare once more for the coming of your Son. Fill the valleys of our insecurities with hope and bring low the mountains of our pride and conceit. Make straight the paths before us, and guide our feet in the ways of peace. Amen.
Please remain standing and join me in singing our hymn of praise, number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
seated. Good morning. How are you two ladies? I'm waiting for that door to open up and see if any more is going to be coming, but I'm not so sure. So, are you getting ready for Christmas?
I didn't get my tree up yet.
You didn't get your tree up yet?
I do a real tree.
You do a real tree. That pine wood, we do a fake one because of the pine. You do a real one or a fake one?
Fake.
Artificial. And you put lots of lights on it?
Well, mine only has...
Oh, it's a pre-lit one, probably like these are here. And then you put decorations on it and ribbon or icicle. And then what else do you do around your house? Anything inside or outside? Inflatables for outside? Like who?
A snowman with a present and lights on top of a present.
A snowman, a present, and hello, ladies. Here come some boys. And anybody have a manger? You know what a manger is?
I know.
What is a manger? You're right. Jesus was born in a manger, and usually the manger has the baby Jesus and the mommy Mary and Joseph and shepherds and sheep and cows and wise men. And so we do all those things in our houses to get ready for Christmas. Now, there was a man a long, long time ago, before any of us were born, and before your grandmas and grandpas were born too, and his name was John the Baptist, and he was shouting words and telling people to get ready because Jesus was coming. And so Advent, this time of year, is our time to get ready for Christmas and the birth of
Christ.
Baby Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. So when you're doing your decorations at home, you're being a messenger like John the Baptist and a messenger like Jesus to tell people about Christ and about Jesus. And we're getting ready for him to come. Let's pray together. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. Continue to bless them as well as their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and everyone who will care for them this week. Oh God, we pray that they will live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of the hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. At this time, would the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings? God, you are the only one who can purify us and make us whole. Through the righteousness of Christ, you restore us. We trust that you are working in our hearts and minds to renew us by the power of your Holy Spirit. As we present our offerings, we ask that your efforts may be pleasing in your sight. By your grace, bring forth a harvest of righteousness in our lives and in our communities. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. Come to the time in the service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations and our need. If you turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you'll find listed there those in personal care and rehab centers, those that we continually keep on our prayer list, and those that are on the monthly rotational basis, and then the service personnel connected to our church that are serving around the world. The events of this past week with San Bernardino, with the shootings there, I don't like it now how the news, they're telling you a story and then they got that ticker that goes across the bottom, and I've got to try to listen and read at the same time two different things. I think ladies maybe do that better, but for multitasking for men, that's a little harder sometimes. So let's just admit that the ladies do that better than we do. But I caught something the other day, and it intrigued me. It's disturbing. We are, give or take, I just did the math quickly in my head from when I had printed this, but we're at about day 345 of the year. Might be 344. And already in the United States, there have been 355 mass shootings where four or more people have been shot. We're having more than one a day. Obviously, we're only hearing about 1%. And what really caught my attention was in the last 3 years, that number is still holding true, that we're having more than one a day. Friday evening was the district Christmas party for clergy, and we were over at North Huntington Christ Church. And on the wall, they had a banner with the United Methodist cross and flame in a world. And on the top, it said, making disciples. And on the bottom, transformation of the world. When we have more than one mass shooting a day, we've got a lot of work to do, because for some reason, I enjoy the guns that I have, and I'm not so sure that I'm willing or ready to give them up, but we've had guns in this country for as long as this country's been around, but to turn them as they've been in the last few years is just unbelievable. And so we've obviously have a problem between heads and hearts and valuing human beings and learning how to work within our differences. As we continue this Advent season, as we go into Lent and continue the cycle of the Christian year, might we be mindful of where and what we can do to take seriously that call to go into the world and make disciples and to be a part of that transformation that obviously needs to occur, not only within us, but within the world as well. Our prayer hymn this morning, number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, we continue this journey of Advent that brings us closer and closer to the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A time to prepare for his coming. And yes, the trees are going up, the decorations are coming out. The lights are upon our homes and the shrubbery and those other items in the yard. Indeed, O God, we are making preparations. The lists of parties and gifts to buy, the gifts of meals and celebrations. But you call us to prepare for you within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. To sweep out those corners of our lives and to fill them with your holy presence. So that our lives might be changed and transformed and made new, so that we then might be empowered by your Spirit, filled with your Spirit, to go into all corners of the world, to go where we are found each and every day, to be your faithful disciples and to transform the world. We, O God, begin at home, we begin at work, we begin at our places of rest and relaxation and play. O God, may we be faithful to your calling. As we come together, we are mindful of individuals that we need to lift up in prayer. Those, O God, on our prayer list. Those, O God, whose names are upon our hearts, but we just can't make them public. Those situations around the world, our own country, where there is tension, where there is turmoil, where there is hatred. O God, we pray for peace, for wisdom, for understanding. For the ability to sit across the table and to talk and to communicate. Instead of leave in a huff filled with anger and rage. Oh God, create within each and every one of us a right heart and a right spirit. We do pray for the hurts and the needs of brothers and sisters. Those on our prayer list, those around the world, for those who are trapped and caught, for those who see no way out. Oh God, we pray that your light might boldly shine, that others might see and experience health and wholeness that comes from you. Oh God, we pray for each mission and ministry that is represented here this day, for each family that is gathered together here this day. We pray for those who are absent, who are with us in spirit. We pray for those empty pews on our left and on our right. Oh God, we pray for the power of this season. Continue, O God, to bless us and use us wherever we will be found this week, that all that we do and say might bring honor and glory to you and to your kingdom. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 68. If you are able, I would invite you to please rise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, and to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Lord God, in these moments that we share together, in the hecticness of this season, give us a sense of peace and rest from all those things that have occurred or need to occur or will occur. Oh God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they will be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Advent should scare the living daylights out of us. But we associate Advent with holiday songs and carols, joy and the sounds of children. We get a very different view from the prophet Malachi that was read from the Old Testament. Our text from Malachi, one of the traditional readings for this time of year, suggests that the emotion most fitting to Advent is terror. Can you think of any time that Advent has terrorized you? Maybe you've terrorized your children. How many of you had a child that you placed on Santa's lap and they about went nuts trying to get off his lap, terrorized by that red man? Is this one of them? Yeah. How many of you have been terrorized by the price tags of some of the gifts that have been on the list to purchase? How many have been terrorized by the anti-Christian sentiment that often surfaces this time of year? How many of you are terrorized by the sheer number of things that need to be done by Christmas Eve? Folks, it's only 18 days away. Last night someone said, you had to say it, didn't you? 18 days to go. Advent of 1928 Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached a sermon in Barcelona in which he spoke about the emotion of the season. He writes, "It's very remarkable that we face the thought that God is coming so calmly. Whereas previously people trembled at the day of God. We have become so accustomed," he says, "to the idea of divine love and of God's coming at Christmas that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. We are indifferent to the message, taking only the pleasant, the pleasant and agreeable things out of it and forgetting the serious aspect that the God of the world, of the universe, draws near to the people of our little earth and lays claim to us." Now, Malachi was the last of the Old Testament prophets. His is the last book in the Old Testament. His ministry took place about 460 B.C., almost 100 years after the people of Judah have returned from exile in Babylon, and more than 50 years after the second temple is built in Jerusalem. That is the temple that Jesus would have experienced during his life. That temple was rebuilt by a non-Jewish person, Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now, many people had hoped, or at least expected, that when that temple was completed, that God would somehow miraculously launch a new era for the Hebrew people, and they would once again return to their place in history, their former glory and independence. But that did not happen. And the people had to deal with the fact that they would remain subjects of the Persian Empire. And so Malachi is a prophet speaking on behalf of Almighty God. And although he himself was a messenger, he tells the people of another messenger that is to come. And he will come suddenly and without warning. And that messenger's job will be to make the way ready for Jesus Christ. The messenger will function like a refining fire that rids gold and silver of impurities. Only his fire will purify people. When I read that image, I'm reminded of one of my tasks when I was working nights in a machine shop. I was the tool crib guy. I've sharpened more drill bits in a day probably than most of you have in a life. And end mills and cutters and all kinds of things to organize and keep clean and to keep sharp. And one of my tasks was to melt down the Babbitt hammers. I don't know what Babbitt is. I think it's a mixture of what, lead and tin or something like that. And they would use these different size hammers to smack parts of the injection mold so that they didn't hurt it when they had to move them. And they'd get just smushed like pancakes. And I'd put them back on the fire in the little pot I have, and it would melt off, and I'd squeeze a handle back in the mold, and I would wait, and then this scum would come to the top of that Babbitt, and I'd have to scrape off those impurities. The little ones came to the surface. The heavier ones fell to the bottom. The refining fires of gold and silver Only that will purify God's people. And then I've always been intrigued with the next imagery. He will also be like Fuller's soap. What in the world is that? Well, Fuller's soap is nothing like our laundry detergents today. What Malachi was talking about was an acidic mixture of alkali, potash, and lye. Sounds like three things you don't dare want to get on you. Oh, it cleaned your clothes all right, but it probably deteriorated them very, very quickly. But again, it's not the concern about the garments being washed for Malachi. It's about the people of God being washed and made pure. And then Malachi goes on to say, and everyone's going to face this day of judgment. But some are going to be redeemed. Now the words of Malachi come for us. Whether we will be among those who perish or those who are redeemed, now that, my friends, is a reason for terror. Perhaps we should use Advent to let ourselves feel that. But Bonhoeffer goes on to continue saying, only when we have felt the terror of the matter can we recognize the incomparable kindness. God comes into the very midst of evil and and of death and judges the evil in us and in the world. And by judging us, God cleanses and sanctifies and comes to us with grace. Do you remember that famous picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking? If you look closely at that picture, you will see that there's no door handle. And we always view that picture of Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts. And that we must respond and open the door and let him in. But for many of us, our first surrender to Christ probably came not because he asked permission to come in. It's probably more that he kicked the door in and entered in like an intruder, taking control of space and making it clear that he was taking over at least for a while. And eventually then we had to make a choice whether or not to let him stay. But initially we were overwhelmed by the very presence of Christ. Now it's clear in the New Testament that the gospel writers understood John the Baptist as the messenger that Malachi was referring to. And we know that John's call for repentance from sin was not, they were not words that were soft and tender. But that was the first advent. Now we're preparing for the second advent that's ahead of us. That hope and that promise that Christ will come again. And Malachi's messenger will precede him. And so, my friends, during this season of Advent, let's allow ourselves to feel some of the fear. To allow our lives to be vulnerable. But then reaffirm our commitment to Jesus Christ and to know the grace of walking with him as a faithful disciple. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us. And in some times there is a moment of terror, uncertainty, and fear. But we admit that's what keeps us on our toes. Oh God, may your presence continue to be with us, to guide us, to direct us, to enable us to be in tune with you and one another. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together today preparing to celebrate a birth and at the same time remembering a death, a life lost, but a life lost for our benefit. For as Christ gathered in that upper room with his disciples, he took bread. He lifted it to the heavens. He blessed it. He broke it. And he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Eat it and remember me." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you today. And as that meal continued, at some point Jesus picked up the cup. And he said, "This cup, it's a new covenant. It's my blood that is shed for the sins of the whole world. Drink it and remember me." The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, forgiveness offered for you. This morning, as we come together to receive communion, it will be by intinction. There will be two stations that you may come under the direction of the ushers, and a piece of bread will be broken off to you, and then you may intinct and dip it into the grape juice and then consume it and return to your seats. I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, it's open communion. Everyone here today of all ages, whether a member here or anywhere or nowhere, is welcome to come and to commune and to receive. The table is prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us and within us. And we pray that it will stay there to empower us, to bless us with your holy presence as we go into the world, to make disciples, to transform the world, to share your gifts and blessings. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing together our closing hymn. gracious and loving God, as we journey through this Advent season preparing for the King, we know, O God, that even though we may call him a newborn king, this king has been around for over 2,000 years. O God, we pray that his light might shine through us and that we might be your faithful servants and disciples to the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.